Episode 15. We out here. You know, when you think about it, most people, when they do their podcasts, or at least stats show that when you get to 15 to 20 episodes, you're at a crossroads, whether to keep going or stop, and you take a step back to realize the work that's been done. Low-key, I am salivating the fact that me and Coach Evan made it this far. Yes, I'm being selfish, like hella selfish. I ain't even gonna hold you. But with that being said, episode 15, we out here. You know, this is a time to actually take a second to reflect. But with that being said, it's another amazing day in the neighborhood. Welcome to Breakout of the Unhinged, where you have two spiritual life coaches talking about all things spirituality, life, and even some weird stuff on top of that. But yes, getting into it, just getting right into it. Episode 15, when you think about it, we're talking about, you know, some of the stuff that, you know, our journey, right? And then this leans into comparison of joy. You know, what is, like, when taking that statement and really breaking that down, like dissecting it, just enjoying the plenties and minis of, you know, dissecting the words and all the things. But aside from that, folks, my name is Coach James Tates from Soul Tribe Transformations. I am your transformation and mindset coach, and I am being co-hosted by...
My name is Eva Morales, coach, holistic healing coach, and I help you release mental and emotional blocks. And I'm with Reveal, Release, Reclaim, just helping you heal and amplify your prosperity in your life. So, yeah.
Well, we sure as hell amplifying prosperity over here. You feel me? But with that being said, let's take a second real quick, you know, and just talk about it. The reflection piece, right? You know, prior to recording, me and Coach Eva was talking about how far we've been. I actually recently uploaded a few episodes. I know I'm hella late. Don't judge me. Sometimes it's the message that counts. Here we are. But with that being said, you know, I want to start off with a thank you to the listeners, you know, past, current, new. If you're new here, welcome. But thank you for the support that you have shown us. It has been a journey. Looking back into it in terms of where we were then to where we are now and currently, it's been a blessing, right? It's been a huge blessing to some parts of it. It's been a blessing in disguise, and sometimes the blessing just be like pie out right in your face, and it can get overwhelming. But with that being said, you know, just looking back at it to where, you know, obviously for me, y'all seeing the physical proof, me being in Virginia and then transitioning over to the great state of Nevada, Battleborn, the Silver State, all the good things, right? So yeah, it's like, and we're still trucking through, we're still at it. It's been a grind. But I do thank y'all for the, you know, just, we're just beyond grateful for, you know, showing us the grace, behind the process, behind us, just, you know, for lack of better terms, and me being brutally honest, just allowing us to talk our shit. So without y'all, we wouldn't have been here. How you feeling, Coach Eva?
It feels really amazing to feel like we're shifting people's perspectives from a space of being introspective, right? Because I feel like with our society, it's very like consumeristic and very like, oh, focus on what's on the outside of us versus focusing on what's the inside and how do we really feel about what is going on in our internal world, to then also see how that's being reflected on the outside of us, because we only have as much awareness as we allow ourselves to invite in. And if we're willing to learn these lessons from a space of expansion and from a space of like evolution, like we're not destined to only be a certain way. We're destined to really thrive in our societies and implement new things and new ideas and new structures and just continue to evolve, you know? So it's been like a beautiful journey.
I think what you said is very profound. Just really looking at the journey and how it's unfolding, right? The beauty of it. And a lot of times, even at looking at the beauty of your journey, or in this case, our journey, right? Sometimes we look at other people's journeys. It's like, damn, you know, how they get so many viewers, or how do they get so many, you know, listeners? Like, what is it that they're doing? And in reality, I think what it really comes down to is when you walk to the beat of your own drum, everything kind of like falls in place in due time, right? Everything falls in place on your time. Nothing will never be in time. It'll just drop in on your time. And I'm just saying that from a general perspective, you know, it's easy to talk about how, you know, yes, for those that are religious, overly, not overly, but, you know, that are more into the religious realm, you know, everything comes in God's time. And that I firmly believe. I stand on that. So we just roll with it, right? Jumping right into business, right? Comparison is the thief of joy.
And then also tapping into what is joy for us, right? So tapping into that first part of like how, you know, comparison may have, you know, taken away the joy at times, and then also bringing it full circle back to what is joy for us? What is joy for you? So go ahead.
I love how you brought that up, the full circle piece, because a lot of times, when we look at comparison being a thief of joy, sometimes that phrase gets transmuted into get something good that comes out of it. As crazy as it sounds, like everybody's path is different, right? And when we have a person or situation that's presented before us, you know, we get that question, like, what is it that I'm learning? What is being manifested? Is this person here to aid in my manifestation, or is this person here to aid in my growth, or leapfrog me into my growth, or, you know, whatever that may have you. But getting to what you were saying, Coach Eva, like how that is coming full circle, you know, a lot of times we steamroll our journey. And what does that mean? What is it to steamroll? We just be living, and we don't take time to like really look at it in terms of where we were in our lives, what growth took place, what did we do to get there, all the things, you feel me? But just breaking it down bare bones and keeping it simple, comparison. Let's get into it, shall we? Comparison. Thinking about comparison for me, just quickly defining that. Comparison is like, for me, in past experiences, you know, it's like we do all the things. It's like, all right, I'm going to try to be a carbon copy of person A or B, and I'm going to do what they do. And then as I get better at whatever it is that may, you know, that may come to me, I'm going to add my own little spin to it. And I'm going to show off, you know, my authenticity behind it. You feel me? When in reality, when you try to do that, you see other people start winning. At that point, for me, that's where it was starting to kill me on the back end. You know what I'm saying? Trying to do all the things. It's like, why is it that I'm not winning? Why is it that I'm not getting credit for this? I added this. I added that. And I made this better. And so on and so forth. And comparison has a lot of times in my journey, now that I'm even thinking about it and looking back at it in a from a fresh set of eyes and ears and so forth, it has killed me. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It has killed me. And I think now being at where I'm at in my age as a 38-year-old man, it's like I just walk to the beat of my own drum. If somebody else got more than me, great. I'm happy for you. If somebody else don't, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? Let's figure out a way to pick you up, and then you know, get you where you need to be at. But in terms of like really looking into my journey, just like, and especially in my past, trying to force myself to fit in, trying to be like everybody, just being, for a lack of better terms, an unhealthy mirror. I was taking on people's other people's traumas, because when you start acting like other people, you kind of take on their BS as well, right? And we don't even realize it. Hell, we don't even know the other half of their story. And growing up, looking at it, trying to fit in and trying to do all the things just to find an escape, especially growing up, it sucked. Man, I'm sorry. This is all fresh for me now that we're talking about it and all this stuff, like it's coming up live time. It's like, it's hitting me like a Mack truck. So it's actually good that we're talking about this, but really thinking about it all in that perspective. Yes. It's like, and just being honest with myself, just trying to be like everybody else. And it, just to think about it, at the end of the day, not getting nothing at all, you know. Yes, I've experienced prom, but in past proms, it was like, you know, I go there, I pull up without a date, or I try to pull somebody. I'm gonna just be honest. I ain't even gonna hold you. This is gonna sound kind of messy. This sounds so messy of me to say this, but pulling up to prom with somebody that, to what I felt, was not as attractive. But that was where my head was at as a 16, 17 year old. I'm just being real, man. I ain't gonna hold you. But just to say that I have somebody to roll up with me. You know what I'm saying? And it sucked, you know. Trying to fit in and then still not get the recognition, still not do all the things, and you know, or once you get in, you try to put in your little twist of things just for it not to be seen or anything of that nature. It's a humdinger to deal with. It's a humdinger to actually face that. Even in those moments when I get out the shower, get ready for school, whatever that may have you, and I look at myself dead in the mirror, it was like, what mask do I put on? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That shit hurt it. I said that exact word, hurt it. It hurts. And just looking at it from the place of how it, you know, growing up, right? Just trying to force yourself to fit in, knowing that you come from a different background, when in reality, your background is what adds color to the picture. It's like everybody else is using red, so I'm going to force myself to be red and add to this paint, when knowing full well I'm a blue and I can add to this picture. And moments like that, it sucks. So just looking back at it from a place of comparison, and how did it shape my life to get me to where I'm at now? You know, I'm not going to touch on the joy part. I think the joy part will come in a bit when we touch on that. But from a place of comparison, I guess what I'm getting to as I close off on this or land this plane, comparison, it's like I mentioned it earlier, and I'll let you, you know, talk your stuff in a second. But comparison, or any of the traumas or issues that we come up with or that we have to deal with, is it comes up in a covert manner. And it comes up in different shapes, sizes, through others. And it's like, and that's what makes your path very unique versus other people. You know what I'm saying? Because we're all here to learn lessons and teach and so on and so forth. So, yeah, what was comparison like for you? Like, how did it come up for you? How would you define it? Like, what's your take on things?
I feel like for me, comparison came from a space of tapping into not really understanding what a healthy upbringing looked like. Because, you know, my dad was not around, right?
Right.
I had my mom and the stepfather who was in the picture, and he was abusive to her, and not really knowing how to navigate being in a relationship, because that's what I thought was normal, right? And I knew, like, at the very young age of like 13, 14, that I was like not going to be in anything like that. But I just kept thinking of the not instead of thinking of what it is that I did want, you know, and having that comparison piece of like, in relationships, how does both aspects fit into it, right? And having like the safety of being in a school environment, versus like I would go home and, you know, I would get my ass beat, or I breathe wrong and God forbid I was in his space, you know, like it was just something that really, like you said, there was hurt. There were like those pain points of like, when is this going to end? When is this going to like really be resolved in my life so that I can move forward? And I had like a very clear vision of like, I'm going to be a teacher and I'm going to do this X, Y, Z, right? Because I was very like goal oriented. Now I'm very goal oriented and being able to like help people heal themselves, right? So it's just going through different stages and seeing the growth and evolution that all of those parts teach you, right? Because we all run a strategy around what we experience and we keep experiencing the same thing. Like I hear from like different people, it's like, I don't know why this pattern continues to persist in my life. And where does that pattern come from? And it comes from like different places in our upbringing, different like situations we saw growing up, different aspects of just being able to like think about or even like see the reality of does it mean to grow up in like a healthy environment, a healthy space. For me, like the school system was like safer. Like not saying like it was all like perfect or anything like that, but it was definitely like a space where I felt safe, which is why like I wanted to cultivate and create that space for my students when I was in that career. And just being able to like compare where that journey took me to like where I'm at now, I'm able to see the differences in how, yes, as a teacher, like I made a difference and I was able to communicate with the students and maybe even like see that I was like a positive influence or, you know, something like that. And now from a space of really honing in and helping others like heal those parts that they may not be aware of. Like people tell me like, I don't know, I just like started talking to you and I don't know, I just like open up. And
right,
that brings me so much joy. That like being able to have people just open up to me and just say like, wow, like I never felt like this type of space or this type of energy, that it's like all of everything that I had to learn from a place of like comparing my life in different stages now brings me to where I'm at now, to more of the joyful part, more of the part of where I feel that I am truly like impacting individuals who then go and impact their communities. And it's just so beautiful that I get to see that. And that's like from a place of joy, right? Going from comparison to now joy. What is the joy for you now that we have like tapped into that a little bit?
Yeah, man. I think the joy is recognizing the past and giving myself an opportunity, a choice to actually, well, I won't say a choice, but an opportunity to lean into who I really am. And for lack of better terms, not give a flying fuck what anybody else think of me. I'm so serious when I say that. And I mean that in my heart of hearts, like really. And I say that with like release of that exhaustion. When I say that, picture like a person that night dropping their swords, their shield, all that armor, all that weight. It's oh, and you can just be. You don't have to sit there chest all puffed up. You know what I'm saying? Looking mean or whatever. Knowing full well at the end of the day, everybody sees past the facade. Everybody sees past the stunt that you're trying to put on. Everybody sees past the mask that you put on. And at that point, it's like, it's so relieving to like take off that mask and just be, and just walk to the beat of my own drum. I remember in a previous experience, I came across a video from TED.com of this dude that would just randomly dance. I think I may have brought this example up to you before, but just to revisit it, there's a dude dancing on the hill, looking weird as hell, right? Like, he ain't know what he was doing, but he was dancing. He was moving, he was grooving. At the end of the day, he was happy. And there's other people that was just following him. And then it turned like that one, it went from that one man dancing to like everybody just dancing. Right. And it goes to show like when you live in your true authentic state, it's like, it's a beautiful thing. Now, what I have noticed is that once I got into that place, just as much as it shined and I was presented with people that was, that too lived authentically, I was also being presented by other people that were not living as authentically. Some would be coverts, would be like, you know, some would be coverted to where they weren't aware. No, let me take that back. Let me start that over. When I say covert, they knew. And they'll try to siphon off of that energy that you have, right? And there would be some that just didn't know how to get to where, you know, I got to. You see what I'm saying? So it will always start off in the little mirroring. And then there's like, oh, I got to go through some type of breakdown to get to where he went through, to get to this breakthrough, right? But the cool thing about this is that when you go through these journeys and you get blessed and you get put on, now you're given the opportunity to put other people on. Now, how you navigate it is on you. You're going to have some mistakes. You want some bumps and bruises along the way. But for me, to your question, when it comes to joy, I find joy in attracting that. Now that I'm a little older and I've seen both sides of it, that people that's actually trying their best versus those that are very coverted in a sense, it's like I know how to navigate that and I know where to protect my energy, but I know when to distribute my energy, right? And it's a beautiful thing, you know, especially for those that need the help. Especially those that want to get put on to be their best, the best version of themselves. And just to watch the magic in that. It's not easy. I ain't going to hold you. It's not easy. But when you watch them and they just, you know, stop caring about what the world thinks, they stop caring about what other people think, and they just be and they just do them. It's like watching art. It's like watching art all over again. And it brings me a lot of joy within that, because then you watch their journey from a place of how they were comparing themselves to other situations and all these heightened expectations. And you just watch them just flourish and just being God. I even do that in my day-to-day job. I actually had one of the leaders was saying, like, find your purpose and what it is that you do. And he broke it down in such an eloquent, at least I thought of it in an eloquent way, to where it was like, yeah, there's some people who have pit stops and they have people that's there for it in their day jobs for their careers. But when you hear about it, it's like, it made me think, I was like, damn, I'm here to help these kids find their true authentic nature. They don't have to be, you know, like the popular kid in school. Or for me and my coaching business, I don't have to chase what this person is doing on their journey. Like, no, I'm moving and grooving. I'm doing me, goddammit. I'm doing me, goddammit. You heard? So the joy piece for me is just watching others tap into who they really are. It's not even about me. I know I'm blessed. You know, I'm blessed in regards to having a second chance of being on this earth. Being in this purpose, the people that's in my corner, you included, you know, those folks that's in my corner, they know who they are. That's one part of it. The other part is seeing others flourish and just being. And I think that's, to me, it's like a full circle moment. It's like the party that will never end. And I think it's a beautiful thing. How about you?
You were talking about joy, and then for whatever reason, something that is the complete opposite of joy was like in my mind. And it was something that I had mentioned earlier when we were having like a conversation, and you tapped into you having like a second chance at being here on Earth, right? And it led me to go down like the thought process. Sometimes I'm like, when you're speaking, it's like taking me on a journey. So yeah. So when you were talking about that, I'm like, oh, like a second chance. And I had, and you know, from a place of like comparison in terms of, I feel like people may see me like as joyful and happy and all of that, but it's like, it has not always been that way. You know, I had been in a relationship where I didn't, what is it called? I wasn't 100%. I was loved to the capacity that they could love me, you know, or to the capacity that I loved myself, right? So my mom was like in the abusive relationship, and like they didn't really like come around. They didn't really like talk to me. And this partner would tell me like, oh yeah, like your family doesn't love you. Like they don't love you. And I'm just like, how low was I in that point in my life to stay with someone that would tell me that? Because I had like nobody else. Like this person also like isolated me from friends, and they also, you know, they were the lesson that I needed. He was the lesson I needed at that point in time for me to really like wake up. And, you know, I like that things that he would tell me would like roll in my mind, like rent free, because it was something that I needed to process, like what he was saying. It's like, it's not that my family didn't love me. It was just the situation they were in did not allow them to fully express how they were meant to express. And I think there were times where, like, I told them, like, I feel like I don't want to be here anymore. I feel like I want to just not exist, because it's like, if you're someone who loves me and you're telling me this, then it's like, how is it possible for like anyone to love me? And ultimately, I feel like the lesson in that was me loving myself, you know, and me loving myself to walk away from someone who, you know, loved me or whatever. But it was from a space of truly seeing that this relationship was like not serving. And did it have to come to the point of like me feeling like I didn't want to exist anymore? I didn't want to live anymore. And seeing where I was in that moment and like where I'm at now, I feel like all of those experiences were necessary for me to get to where I'm at now. And it's, and I know it may sound kind of like cruel or whatever, but I feel like it was just the reality of the universe, God, the divine, like nudging me of like, this is, you know, where you need to love you. This is where you need to pour into you. And even after the relationship, I was always pouring into others. And I didn't learn that lesson until like the past 2 years when I really went into like my journey. So it was just like a series of things that I needed to learn for myself to be able to truly tap into the most joy that I could ever feel, which is where I'm at now, being very like present and being very like in the moment. Because I used to dabble in depression, which means like I was just focused on the sadness of my past, or when I had like anxiety of like, how was my future going to look? And now being really able to just exist as I am and being able to sit with myself, sit with my emotions, and tap into the different parts of my body where I can express this, and I can just truly like see all of the work that I've done in the past 2 years come to show that I have the right to have a joyful, beautiful life. And I didn't think about that before. It's like we get to give ourselves permission to live that life. And I totally understand where you're coming from, James, in terms of being able to live in our authenticity so that other people can benefit from that too and want to step into their authenticity and want to step into who it is that they truly are from a space of this is something that's been coming up a lot for me, right? From a space of respect, honor, and integrity, and ultimately love, because all of those are just resonant into like what you are at your core. Something that, like a thought that came up yesterday for me was, have loyalty to your soul, not to the ego, to anything outside of you. What are you here for in your soul? Ask your soul, what is it that I'm here for? And it will speak to you. And if it doesn't, maybe you have to ask it over and over again and sit in a space of meditation and ask it to guide you and ask it to just love you. I mean, your spirit loves you all the time, right? Your soul loves you all the time. And it's just up to us to tap into that introspection, to tap into that love that exists already within us, to be able to bring that out and express it in joy, express it in happiness. It's like we all go through challenges in life. The only difference between like one person and the next is the way you choose to view the world. And it's not from a place of like toxic positivity, like how I had, you know, previously, like only focus on the good. It's right. About acknowledging every single part of your journey and embracing every single part and reflecting on it. Like, what did that teach me? It's like, if I do this pattern in this way, in different relationships, what is that like teaching me? How can I approach things in a different way to get a different result? Right? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So it's like, what are all of these different aspects of my life trying to teach me? And being very like introspective and seeing like, oh, okay, like I see what that experience was trying to teach me. I see what all of those are trying to communicate to me. It's and from like a place of love and from a place of commitment, from a place of respect, how is it that I choose to honor like all the different aspects of me and even the emotions that are not pleasant? How am I sitting with those? How am I allowing them to flow out of me and not keeping them inside of me and just allowing what needs to occur in terms of our growth and our, you know, personal development. I know I said a lot.
No, I think it all makes sense. I love how you put the bow on it at the end, though. And you talk about the lessons behind comparison, right? A lot of times we don't see it as that because we're going through this. We're embracing the suck of it. We're embracing the worst of it, right? We're just dealing with our shit. Let's call a spade, shall we? And we don't take the time to reflect in those moments of dealing with the shit. So when you think about that in the midst of it all, it's like, man, like, I guess doing some reverse engineering, because we didn't define comparison and joy, but like we talked about the experiences, but when we get into it, that comparison piece, it can lead to a lot of things. Self-sabotage, it can lead to, I mentioned self-sabotage, but just go ahead.
Like not being you.
Not being you.
Someone else. And
absolutely.
Having to ask. It's like, who am I? That's why I'm asking.
It's even, what's even worse? What's even worse, Coach E, was that it's the undoing. You take on all these identities, all these personalities. You take on all the past situations that did not fit you, that was not designed for your journey or your path. And you have to undo that shit. You have to unravel all of that. Right? That's where the work gets dicey. That's where it gets sucks. You know,
I mean, just even me talking about the experience of like having a past partner tell me like your family doesn't love you and like, whoa, you know, it's like not everybody has like the same way of like showing that, but yeah. It's knowing that that needed to occur for me to know that I deserve something better. I deserve to be like loved, one, by me, and two, by whoever else wants to be in my circle, in my corner, in my energy, you know. Mm-hmm. and being able to like accept that.
What's worse than undoing is unlearning. I'm gonna say that. I'm gonna slow it down when I say this again. What's worse than having to learn from the past to never do it again, to prevent yourself from making those mistakes, is having to unlearn other people's lessons that don't apply to you. See what I'm saying? Having to unlearn a boatload of rhetoric that has nothing to do with you. Yes, there's some good out of it. When I say the good, it's like only a smidge of it. And it's like, all right, I've learned from this particular experience this much when I could have learned this much later on. I've learned this much in this little bit in this experience when I could have learned a whole lot later on down the line. It's not in design for me. Right? That's like saying we're going to take Peyton Manning, a Hall of Fame quarterback, or Tom Brady, a Hall of Fame quarterback, and we're going to turn them into like Lamar Jackson. In what world does that make sense, knowing that they have a howitzer of an arm? And these are for my football folks, so I'm not expecting everybody to understand it, but they have a howitzer of an arm, and you're trying to turn these turtle bodies into Lamar Jackson, who's a fast running quarterback. You're teaching somebody how to run a 4.3 40 when their strength is in their arm. Now, when they finally get to a team to where they can show off their true self and their true talents, they got to go through all this unlearning of what they went through. They got to know how to stay in the pocket, climb the pocket, instead of trying to run they turtle-legged asses up and down the field. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And we see, and I'm not saying from a football perspective, that was just an example, maybe a good one, maybe a bad one, so what? But what I'm trying to say is, and what I'm trying to drive home is, when we get away from trying to compare, when we get away from trying to undo and unlearn, and when we get to a place to where we finally accept and walk in our path through self-love. I'm going to put on my therapy hat, and it's something I learned from my therapist. Radical love, radical acceptance. You are able to radically move forward. What does that word radical mean to me? And I can't say the actual definition because I don't have a Merriam-Webster's dictionary in front of me. But just to speak on what I feel and what I've learned about it, when you think about radical, it's like a gentle version of it is what it is. When we say it is what it is, low key, we mad about something. I ain't gonna hold you. We pissed. This reality sucks. But when you look at things from a place of radical acceptance, it's like, yo, this is just what it is. The reality of the fact is that this is not going to change. I have to change this. I have the power to change this. If I do this, it will bring X outcome. So we have self-love. There are some people who say they love themselves and they are walking a lie. I'm calling a spade a spade. Fight me. However, when you have radical love, you through and through, like, you know what? I'm a work in progress, but I love who I am and I love who I'm becoming to be. I love the past that I went through, because without it, it wouldn't have brought me here. The bullshit that I had to deal with, the tears that I had to shed at night, the people that I've lost, the people that I've gained, it got me here. So why should I trip? It is what it is. You see what I just did there, right? But when you get to radical acceptance, you are accepting the facts of the reality, the facts, the proof that this is the reality that we are in. But you are also given an opportunity to, like, hey, what change can I make, or how can I progress from this, whatever, from X situation? Right? I'm in this space to where it's like every life is radical. I'm not letting nobody, I'm not trying to compare myself to anybody, but I'm also thriving. I'm chasing, I'm thirsting for that joy. When I live life radically, I understand the current state of where I'm at in my life. I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. But that doesn't stop me from looking at where I came from to where I'm at now. And that's like, shit, I love myself. Things could have been worse. Things could have been worse. You feel me? So when we, so again, just closing off my little soliloquy. This piece of radical acceptance, radical love, radical divinity, you live life radically. This is perfect timing, you know, because we have the Ninja Turtles theme stuff out, you know, it's pretty cool. But anyway, that was a little sidebar, side banter. But yes, you live life radically when you radically accept and you radically love and you radically seek out those things too. You know what I'm saying? In terms of where your life is heading and where was it in the past.
Yeah, for me, like where you're talking about radical, it means like something out of the norm. It's like something that sometimes people don't like tap into like that. Like you were talking about radical acceptance, radical love, radical. I want to even put something, you know, different. It's like radical recognition, like of what it is that you've overcame in your life, what it is that you've let go of in your lineage, right? It's like you're the one who's meant to, you know, grow and evolve and change the path for your future generations. I mean, just you listening to this podcast, you know, listener, viewer, it just shows how invested you are into like changing and shifting things within you to be the best version, the one that has like the highest intention for, you know, everybody from your past and everybody in your future. Just striving to always be in that state of recognizing and acknowledging that everything that you've experienced, it's meant to teach you something. It's meant to, and I'm going to take it back to in terms of what I've said, being able to heal sexual trauma. And it's not about like it was something about you or whatever that you experienced it. It's not about that. It's about how you take ownership of your life and how you decide to change your own paradigm for you to move forward in the most authentic, in the most loving, in the most, you know, beautiful way to move in a space of this is who it is that I am, this is what it is that I choose to do. I love all these aspects of me, and I'm learning to love these ones, right? And I'm learning to change my perception around certain aspects of life. I had a really beautiful friend recently tell me, you know, as a Black man, he was telling me, he's like, I forgave the Ku Klux Klan because of everything that they've done to like people of color, because they were just acting based off of their programming. They were just acting based off of what it is that they did. And I'm just like, whoa, like that is so something that I've never like thought about, because of the frequency that like those people are vibrating at and the frequency of like hate. Tashi, thank you so much for your nuggets of wisdom. I love it. He's writing a book and I'm like so excited we connected. It's been like really beautiful to see when you change your world, the type of people that you attract inward and the type of healing that people have had to do within themselves to truly see that everything is stuff that's passed down, and we can choose to accept what's passed down, or we can choose to let that go, and we could choose to act in what's in the best faith of humanity now, because we can't stay and evolve based off old old, what is it called? Ideas. Everything's changing. Technology's changing. Like the way that life itself is moving is changing and evolving. How is it that we can integrate all of those parts to truly see like the most beautiful, most like abundant, most prosperous future for ourselves, for everybody around us? How can that be something that we do? And I just really appreciated that like perspective and shift, because there's so much like animosity and hate between groups, but it's like we don't really sit and acknowledge why this is going on and questioning why, instead of continuing to perpetuate the same ideas that do not serve who it is that we are, who it is that we're becoming, who it is that we're being. At the end of the day, like, we want to be the best version of ourselves for the collective so that everyone can benefit from sitting in our authenticity and really who it is that we are at our core, to be able to move in the right direction, to be able to move in a space of love and connection and healing. Because anything that's not love and connection is not something of the divine, of source, of God. Everything that's outside of love and connection is, you know, what people call it, like the devil or like different things. Like, I don't use like those types of like associations, but it's like unity and connection and love is the foundation of who it is that we are as humans. And I think it's just, you know, programming and different aspects that are passed down to people that don't serve it, because certain groups of people thrive on separation. But it's up to us to acknowledge that we reject that. We don't want that in our life. We want unity. We want connection. We want love in our communities. Imagine how beautiful the life could be if we chose love for each other. And just, I don't know. I just, you know, I like all these words just like float out. This is channeling now.
No, it's cool. It sounds like what's coming up for me as you say that is coming down to community, right? Mm-hmm. And part of building community is forgiveness, forgiveness of the past, forgiveness of what history dictates, and looking ahead from a place of community is legacy. You know what I'm saying? What was history? It was one's legacy at one point. It was one's legacy and how they view things. And as we're looking ahead, as such, you know what I'm saying? We're looking at things from the aspect of, yeah, we're building a community. What did the past look like? We have a great balance of comparison and joy. We're not trying to steal any more joy. We're not trying to over the top compare. Let's peek into the past real quick, right? Let's peek into that real quick. Let's sit with it for a second. Let's let the past emotions or the emotions of what we see and hear, you know, flow through us. How do we dissect that? How do we allow that to flow to then building a plan of legacy? See, a lot of times when we plan from a place of logic and we don't take an account of emotions. How do I want to feel? What does peace look like for us? What does it look like for me? How do I want to feel? How do I want my people to feel, right? And we don't do the best job balancing the act of it all. Comparison being a thief of joy. We don't balance comparison to understand the joy. We don't balance, you know, logic to emotion when planning. Therefore, it's either one side of the coin or the other. So in this case, with this new generation, and we building and us building our version of legacy, how do we evoke better balance of it all to where we create community and how we define it, how it makes us feel? Part of creating history for the next is for them to feel that. Because when we talk about the history of, you know, let's call a spade a spade. We talk about history of the blacks, right? I had nothing to do with that in my past, now that I'm physically here. But just to think about the fact that I could walk to a water fountain and it says whites only, I would be pretty pissed off. 9 times out of 10, I'm probably going to rebel and I'm probably going to get my ass whooped for sipping out the fountain. I ain't going to hold you. Just because. Just to say I did it. But
because don't you, or I don't know, I feel like as a teenager, whenever somebody told me not to do something, I wanted to do it more.
I think that's just both of us as to who we are as people, Eva. I don't think that's just everybody. Because there's some people that will see whites, some blacks that will see whites only, and they probably wouldn't do it. There are some whites that will see blacks only. They probably wouldn't do it. What I'm trying to say is, in the light of it all, you know, we talked about this balancing act. We talked about how people don't plan with emotion, but they plan rather with logic. This generation, we're trying to evoke that. We're trying to put the balance of the two and all of those things in order. We understand what it's like to compare and have our joy stolen. We understand what it's like to have joy after going through the journey of comparison.
And how also, do we bring that? Mm-hmm. And also, with what you were talking about, like the logic and the feeling, right? It's about like how many times people are really centered in the mindset and like the mind versus the heart. And what is it that we're meant to be here and do from a space of being heart led and from a space of tapping into those aspects of us that we're not really taught to listen to, you know? Like, I mean, I didn't grow up thinking like, oh, I didn't grow up with like, listen to your intuition, listen to your heart, listen to none of that. No, it was just like do instead of be. So who am I being for me to engage in this sort of like intellectual yet heart-led conversation, you know?
I think you pretty much put it out there best from the place you said two key words, heart and mind. Where's the balance? I feel like this collective, yes, is more, I would say if I was to ratio it, it'll probably be more mind-led, but there's a heavy amount of heart. There's a heavy amount of heart that's at play here. And that's where this balance is coming from. Before then, it was either black or white. And I'm not talking about no colors, no puns, whatever that may have you. Like, black and white as in, like, it's either this or it's that. And now there's like, all right, I'm starting to see a little bit of this and I'm starting to feel a little bit of this and it's leading me to think a little bit of that. What do I want my world to look like? Both physically and internally within myself. Damn, this got deep. I think we went into the rabbit hole. But when you really cover that ground as such, you know what I'm saying? You lock into that. You tap into that. And you know, again, coming from a place of what we were trying to say before, community, that's where it's heading towards. To where we all grow. We all raise our vibrations, not just as individuals, but as a collective. It's happening. It's here. It's present. Whether if you see it or not, it's here. The change is taking place. Your day jobs, your day-to-day, how you move, how you operate, in terms of the, you know, the little coffee spots that you may go to, the stores that you go to, the flower shops that you may go to for that significant other. It's like, can we find purpose in what it is that we do, albeit our jobs or interactions? Are we able to find passion in what it is that we seek? Maybe community is the new passion. Maybe finding purpose is in the small things that we do. Maybe those two words are being redefined. Therefore, we find ourselves in this journey of, you know, in this remixed journey of, you know, comparison being the thief of joy. Oh, this got deep. Hold on. Now you got me thinking.
And even going back to the joy of who it is that you were as a child, like what lit you up? Like what really made you feel so, so good. I know, like, for me, when I tap into, like, my inner child, it's like, I'm dancing. Or, I don't know, for my the listeners can't see it, but for the viewers, I like, recently pulled up, like, a little bubble. And my inner child's like, go buy some bubbles. Like, those are, like, the little things that would bring me joy. Or even, like, preparing, like, a snack that would bring me so much joy. Or just being around, like, those that I loved and that loved me. And just seeing how that felt in my body. I feel like many times, you know, norms in society, like, cover all of, like, not our joy per se, but those aspects of us that society deems, like, not appropriate in, like, a setting, right? But it's just so much more than that to truly, like, tap into, like, our hearts and our inner child, and just being very, I guess, in tune with our primary joy, and our primary joy being who we were as children. I don't know.
That's dope. Does any of that resonate with you? It does. It does. A lot of it do. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, as you were saying all of this, I'm still into my thinking process of it. Just looking at the journey, everything that I had to undo, everything that I had to unlearn, everything that we had to undo, everything we had to unlearn, and to get to where we are, to where things are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is like the beauty of, like, learning lessons is so powerful. And it's even better when you start seeing it applied in a worldly sense. It's such a beautiful and profound thing. Just to watch it. It's like, you know, watching that annoying ass teacher write 1 + 1 and making it 2. It's like, it's so baffling. It's so mundane and boring. But when you see the magic of it and how he got there by just tapping the little 1 dot at top, it's like, it's so simple yet so profound. It could be all this simple, but it's not. It's so complex. And I think it shows that to be complex is so beautiful. To be simple is so mundane. Man, this has been a really good topic to talk about, because it puts us in our, like, folks, in case you didn't know, it's like, you know, whether if you're the viewer or the listener, this is one of these topics to where it's like, we're caught in our present mind, and just really just, like, taking a second just to reflect and just sit with it and just, like, wow. And, like, not just being able to process through this within myself or with Coach Eva, but as a community or as a world, we're all processing and sitting with this and just really talking about it, experiencing the feels behind it, you know, the good of the magic, hell, even the bad of the magic. Like, really, like, even as I sit here, I'm looking outside of my window and I'm just watching slowly but surely how, and it sounds crazy, so stay with me now, but it's like the world is, like, changing. You know, and you start picturing, you know, where this world can get to, where it will be. And I think it's a beautiful thing. Like, yeah, I just see nothing but houses and greenery in some mountains. But the same token, what I do see is a more accepting, you know, world. People being more wise and more accepting. Self-love to radical love, you know, self-acceptance to radical acceptance, like all the things just making a seismic shift in this world. And it's coming. Like, right now, we already added the first, we took the first one and we tapped it. Like, hey, it's going to be 1. Then we're about to add that second one. For those who know, who've watched math problems growing up, you know, they have, like, the, you know, you got the 2, you have little dots on them and you count them off to get that answer. Yeah, we're about to hit that second one and then tap on that. And it's about to be a whole 2. It's about to be a whole new world. That 2 is about to be a whole new world, a whole new way of thinking, a whole new world of processing. And this is where the worlds of the heart and the mind actually join up and work in unison and in partnership. It's a beautiful thing. But with that, we are at an hour. We can go down this rabbit hole. At this point, my arms are tired from digging. I kid. But with that being said, you know, you can find me, James Tates, on Instagram at Soul Tribe Transformations. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, all the things. Where you'll find my ugly mug on there. I'm kidding. I'm beautiful. But you can find me on there. Just DM me, hit me up if you have any questions or if you want to talk, you know, spit out your thoughts, your facts. Hell, even any disagreements, hit me. I want to hear what you think. I love hearing what people think and how they process their thoughts. We can set up a free clarity call for that and just go from there. Coach Eva, how can we find you?
You can find me at Reveal, Release, Reclaim on Instagram. I have my Calendly. I have my website. I have lots of reviews on the website. And send me a DM if you're like interested in just connecting and being able to talk about these really like important topics, right? And just loving on ourselves and bringing more joy into our life. And the only way to really tap into that joy is through feeling the stuff we don't want to feel. Because I used to be numb. So now I'm able to experience both the highs and the lows. And that's just what comes with being human. And it's just about embracing the journey. So, yeah.
Well, folks, it's been fun. This is actually this is actually, at least in my opinion, this has been one of the better episodes from a place of reflection. I think this was like well worth the live sit down and conversation of one's thoughts being put on wax. But at the end of the day, y'all could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here with two random life coaches that talk about all things spirituality and life. And other weird stuff like astrology. I'm kidding.
And life and opportunities and lessons.
Facts. That's true. But with that being said, folks,
every time we get on the podcast, like lessons, what lessons are we learning?
It comes to them through awareness. We're just here to provide awareness. So with that being said, folks, this is Breakout of the Unhinged. We thank you for listening. We thank you for being a part of this collective. Again, this is episode 15. I'm proud of the work that me and Coach Eva is doing. We're proud of y'all for you just even listening or watching us, but even more proud that you're becoming more aware. You're taking the steps to grow and to change and to evolve to be a part of this collective. So with that being said, thank you for your time. Be safe, y'all. Peace out, Cub Scouts. Bye.